Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Elder care, it can be for your parents or for you, but it's an emotionally trying, difficult, and costly part of life. And there are laws in place to help prevent elder abuse, but these are difficult to enforce sometimes. And there is a growing billion-dollar industry that seeks to capitalize on the aging baby boomer population. Here's Granger Cobb, the CEO of Imitris, the nation's leading assisted living corporation.
So the 75-plus demographic is growing by about 400,000 individuals per year. So there's this increasing demand. And frankly, out 15 years when the baby boomers start hitting, it's going to grow by a million a year. And so there's this huge demand that is already here and on the horizon is going to increase. And I think that, you know, what we're looking at is to be able to service that demand as it continues to grow.
That's Granger Cobb, CEO of Imitris. That clip is from the new PBS Frontline ProPublica investigation. The report airs on the local PBS station KLRN on Tuesday, July 30th at 9 p.m. With me to talk about the findings of this year-long investigation, A.C. Thompson. Welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So why did y'all decide that y'all needed to look at assisted living? How did this come to your attention?
We were talking to people that work with senior citizens, older Americans, and they were saying, look, you know, one thing that you should be looking at is the whole world of assisted living. And these were geriatricians, they were advocates, they were all different kinds of folks. And it kept coming up in our conversations with people that know this world. And they said, you know, it used to be that you had a lot of problems in nursing homes, but now what we're hearing more and more about are things that are concerning with assisted living. And assisted living facilities fill a niche between retirement homes or personal homes and nursing homes. So they're a sort of facility that's more like a home, not quite as medical as a nursing home, but still provides care and support for people who can't really be on their own anymore.
Now, Imitris is the nation's leading assisted living corporation. They've got a very big presence. They're publicly traded. They've got stockholders.
They sure do, and they're big in Texas as well, by the way. So, you know, this is a company that has kind of two competing forces playing against it. And one is the market. You know, this is a company that is publicly traded. They need to go on their earnings calls every quarter and say, hey, we've got really good occupancy numbers. We've got all these people moving into our facilities. They're staying in our facilities. We're charging them this much per month. We're making these kind of earnings in terms of revenue each month and each quarter. And then, meanwhile, they need to comply with state regulations because assisted living is a state-regulated industry. And those regulations are often about, well, who can you move into a facility? What kind of health conditions are prohibited in people that live in these facilities? Other regulations are how many staff you need to have on duty or how many staff you need to train to a certain level. And those are the things that you start seeing there end up being problems with, that the company has a problem with moving in people who are legally barred from their facilities, and they have a problem with keeping people who are legally barred from their facilities living in them as well. What we saw a lot of were facilities that didn't have enough employees and didn't have trained employees. And the problems we saw at Imitris, I should be clear, were problems that you see at a lot of these facilities. They were not unique to the company. They were more representative of the kind of big problems in the industry.
We're going to open our phone lines. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Have you had problems at an assisted living facility, whether it's for you or your parents? Tell us what you've seen. Tell us what your concerns are. So A.C. Thompson of ProPublica and Frontline, what are the differences between an assisted living facility and a skilled nursing facility, nursing home?
So they're massively different, and I should be clear that I think assisted living facilities are great in lots of ways. I think they offer a type of care and a type of environment that's really good for a lot of people as they're getting older. Assisted living facilities were designed as a sort of response to the institutional, hospital-like nature of nursing homes, and they were designed to be more like your own apartment where you could do what you wanted to do. You could cook for yourself in many cases. You could stay up as late as you wanted. You could have people over. You could bring in your own furniture. And generally, they receive very little in terms of Medicare and Medicaid money. And so what that means is that in contrast to nursing homes, which get lots of money from the federal government in terms of insurance programs, the federal government hasn't taken a big role in overseeing them. And they've left it to the states to decide, well, how are you going to regulate this industry? And the states have taken all very, very different approaches to overseeing assisted living.
So But this assisted living facilities, they have the conflict of wanting to provide a service, but also this drive for maximum profits. And so sometimes there's a human cost for that.
Exactly. And that was the thing that concerned us as we started going deeper and deeper and looking at the industry in more detail, was that we kept coming across incidents where people died in emeritus facilities and other assisted living facilities, or had really awful, awful incidents that occurred there, like sexual assaults or physical assaults. And so that was the thing that concerned us. And what we would see, you know, we documented more than two dozen questionable deaths, and we believe that doesn't cover everything, that's only a part of what's out there in emeritus facilities. And we kept seeing the same kind of problems happen over and over again. We kept seeing residents who had dementia in these facilities wandering off from the facilities and dying. There was a case like that in Austin, Texas, where a woman froze to death around Christmas on Christmas morning in a facility, a emeritus facility in Austin. So you see those kind of things. And the woman who was on duty in the memory care, the dementia care side of that facility, said there was only one of us to care for the people here, and there was more than a dozen residents. And, I didn't realize that this older lady with dementia had left the building, and in the morning they found her dying of hypothermia in the parking lot. So we saw lots of cases like that, people who just wandered off and perished as a result. We saw a lot of cases of residents who died after altercations with other residents who had Alzheimer's or dementia, which is something you had no idea was happening, was people getting into violent altercations due to their disease, and lots of fatalities that way. We saw more than one case where somebody with dementia fell or jumped from a second-story window. Things that you would think would be really an outlier and really a bizarre thing. Well, we found multiple cases of that, and we found significant number of cases where people were dying of pressure ulcers or pressure sores, which occur when you lose mobility and you are left in the same place for too long. That's how they often occur.
More and more elderly Americans are choosing to spend their later years in assisted living facilities, which have sprung up as an alternative to nursing homes. But this is a loosely regulated multi-billion-dollar industry. Are they putting seniors at risk? In a major investigation with ProPublica, Frontline examines the operations of the nation's largest assisted living company, raising questions about the drive for politics and fatal lapses in care. We're going to continue our conversation with A.C. Thompson. He is a reporter for ProPublica and Frontline. This program will be shown on KLRN on Tuesday at 9 p.m. We want to hear your calls. What have you seen at assisted living facilities in San Antonio and the area? 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
Now, we pretend assisted living facilities are not medical facilities. They're non-medical. And yet, the people who are in these facilities today have acute medical needs. The same people who are in assisted living today are the people who were in nursing homes 10 years ago. And this is not to say that all the facilities aren't prepared to deal with them, but I'd say the overwhelming majority certainly aren't prepared to deal with that.
That is Patricia McGinnis. She's from the California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform. We're talking about problems with assisted living. A.C. Thompson is a reporter with ProPublica and Frontline. There is a special report, an investigation, a year-long investigation that airs Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on KLRN. He's exposing things happening at assisted living facilities. And so, A.C., you're showing us that these facilities – These people should have really have gone to skilled nursing care, but because some of these assisted living facilities, they're willing to take them in because they want that check.
Right. You know, I think some of these people maybe would be better going to skilled nursing facilities. I think some of them would do fine in assisted living if they had the right supervision, if they had the right monitoring and care. It's a mix. I mean, another thing that we saw was people who clearly needed to be in a psychiatric facility. A lot of states will bar someone who had serious behavioral problems, who's aggressive or violent towards others or a danger to themselves from being in assisted living. But we would see those people winding up in these facilities as well, sometimes with fatal consequences. And so that's a concern. There's definitely this sort of this push and pull between what's legally allowed and what people want to do in terms of financial results, in terms of hitting the earnings targets that these companies would like to hit.
Let's go to the phones now. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980, if you want to join the conversation. Helen is on the line. Helen, welcome to The Source.
Oh, thank you. A very interesting program. I have a parent that's in an emeritus facility in San Antonio. And pretty much what's being said on your show is what we've encountered. For the most part, the staff we've been very happy with the people that work there. They are for the most part loving, caring people, but we feel like they're overworked. And on weekends there's a skeleton staff. There's just not enough. But part of also the problem that I wanted to address was the assisted living facility is not for private pay patients. The cost for a skilled nursing care is double that of an assisted living. So you have a lot of people out there that can't really afford skilled nursing care.
All right, Helen. Thank you for that call. That was and good luck to you and your parents. So, AC, what about that point that she makes?
Yeah, I mean, part of it, too, is whether people can be admitted to a nursing home because of the admission requirements. And sometimes people are quite unwell, but the nursing homes and the way it works, they're not going to take you in. And so people end up perhaps in facilities that aren't really a great fit for them. The interesting thing about this is assisted living, even if it's cheaper than nursing care, if you're paying out of your pocket, is not cheap. It's not cheap. People are paying a lot of money to be in these facilities, and that's the thing that is worrisome. Is when you're shelling out $4,000 or $5,000 a month or more, and you know the facility is perhaps not as we heard not having a ton of staff on duty, not having a lot of staff on duty on the weekend, not having enough folks around to promptly answer a call bell or a call light when a resident in the facility has a problem. That's a worrisome thing. And you know, in a lot of ways, even while this is cheaper than nursing home care, it's not cheap. And we're talking about a story that is different than a lot of what we see. A lot of times we see people who don't have much money and people who don't really have a lot of income having a lot of problems, having a lot of challenges in society. This is a story about people who generally have a decent middle class or upper middle class income and are still having problems.
Well, you know, Granger Cobb, the CEO of Emeritus, he makes a great point about how this is there's a lot of people out there that are willing to pay money for this service, and it's going to keep growing as the baby boomers age. And many of these people do have the resources to pay a good money for this service. Why so much go for the maximum return and minimize the staff and untrained staff and, you know, to get that last dollar? Why can't they just, provide a better service?
You know, you would have to ask them about that, and I'm sure that they would take issue with that, and they'll say that we provide great services, and many times they do. It's a thing where we heard over and over and over again from people working at the company that there was a very, very intense pressure on earnings, on profitability, on moving people in. And that there wasn't a lot of pressure to make sure that nothing bad became of the residents there. There wasn't a lot of pressure to make sure that residents all had really good outcomes, that their time in these facilities was as happy and as dignified and as healthy as possible. And I'll give you an example of that. In a trial that we covered in Sacramento, California, the top nurse for the Marist Corporation testified, and he said, look, I don't have any say over the staffing or the budget for caregivers in these facilities. I'm not involved in that process at all. He's the top nurse for the company. Now, maybe that makes sense, but to my mind, it doesn't make that much sense. If your job is to make sure that people are doing okay in these facilities, then it would seem like you should be involved in deciding or at least budgeting for the caregivers. In the same way, he testified, and this is under oath, I have no way of ensuring that people who work in our facilities get the legally required training they are supposed to have under the various state laws. Well, this is a company that has incredibly detailed data on every other aspect of its business, particularly when it involves money. But they, for them to say, well, we can't make sure that people get what's required under the law when it comes to training, strikes me as a little bit strange.
Let's go back to the phones. The number is 614-8980. Caroline is on the line. Caroline, welcome to The Source.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment that I've had a personal experience knowing someone in San Antonio who was in a couple of different facilities after having had a stroke. And the first one, certainly, you know, I informed her family, it's the care level. I felt it was beneath her dignity when I went to visit. I am in pharmacy. I have a knowledge, you know, background of HIPAA and things like this. And I was struck by the lack of security in the facility. I felt that I identified myself and made certain that, you know, I was identifying myself appropriately. But I honestly had the feeling that, I don't know if it was because they were so short-staffed, it just felt like I could just walk into anyone's room and that no one was paying that close attention. And so, you know, I also volunteer with hospice, and I can't call out one particular facility and won't, but, you know, I've been in facilities visiting hospice patients where, you know, I'll have a staff person say, you know, the person will communicate, you know, that they need to sit up or something, and I'm not allowed to, of course, move them or touch them, but I've actually had a staff person in the facility say, well, just move her, you know, or just help her, you know, and it's just like, what is the level, yes, to your point, what is the level of training of that particular individual, and aren't they aware of liabilities and things? And, of course, you know, I reported that, but, you know, to the people in charge, you know, and that might have just been one individual, but I come away from it wondering for my parents who are aging, if I, you know, I'm fearful to ever have to put them in any type of assisted living facility.
All right, Caroline.
Home for that matter.
Caroline, thank you so much for your call, and we appreciate your words. And so, AC, while you were doing this show for Frontline, this program, doing interviews, there were a lot of tough interviews that you had to do of people who had lost people that they loved.
There sure are, and you know, that's probably the toughest part of my job is to have those conversations with people about the worst moments of their lives and to go back through that with them. And, you know, to be totally honest, you know, I worry about re-traumatizing people, and I worry about dredging up really painful things. But I'll tell you the positive end of that was that people kept telling us, we're really glad that you came. We're really glad that you contacted us. This was a story we wanted to tell, and we want to get that out there. And that was moving to me, and that I thought was real and honest, and I really wanted to share those stories.
What can people do to make sure or try and get some assurance that the assisted living facility that they're using is more adequate?
Well, you know, one thing I would recommend, especially in Texas has pretty good data collection and records for assisted living. So Texas DADS, the regulator that oversees these facilities, has a quite good system to search facilities online and to see if they've been cited for violations. Now, I think that they could go further back into the past. They do about 3 years of violations. I think in some ways they could be more aggressive. But I think it's a really, really good starting point for a consumer and really important. And that's a key thing you're going to want to do if you're considering moving mom or dad in, or you're considering moving in yourself. Another thing I would encourage people to do is to reach out to the ombudsman and ask if there have been verified complaints in a facility you're considering in the last 5 years and what types of complaints those were. And try to get a sense of, well, which facilities have a lot of legitimate complaints and which don't.
A.C. Thompson, investigative reporter for ProPublica Frontline. The program Death in Assisted Living airs on PBS KLRN in San Antonio Tuesday, July 30th at 9 p.m. This is The Source on KSTX.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.